You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Sense of Loss is a new show from Visually Impaired Creators Scotland, which explores death, grief, and sight loss. We're joined today by Vic's founder and star of the play, Kieran Saeed, and cast member Neil Skeen. Hi, Kieran and Neil.
Hi, great to be here.
Hello.
So, Kieran, this is a very personal show. Can you tell us about why you wanted to share this story and turn it into a play?
So 10 years ago, on January the 25th, my husband passed away. So he died in 2014. He was visually impaired. He went to the Royal Blind School at the time up here in Scotland. He's Scottish. And the adventures and the process that I went through when he was dying was very interesting. There were some very inaccessible processes, which were fun, if a bit upsetting. But it was also, I wanted to kind of broke that subject of death anyway, because we're not very good at talking about it. One of the dates that the play is being shown on is actually going to be his birthday, and he would have been 70. But I wanted to kind of combine that idea of talking about death, making it much more of an ordinary, everyday subject, together with visual impairment, really.
A lot of blind and partially sighted people kind of experience intense grief if they lose their sight or their level of sight
Yeah,
changes.
grief can go in all sorts of ways. It can, it's about losing a sight, it's about losing a person, but all of it has a visual element to it. So when you're losing your sight, the visual element is you losing what you could have, you had and you could communicate with, and you're having to re-communicate in a different way. And that's really frustrating. When you're losing somebody physically, they always give you visual signs, like, they'll go paler and they'll go this way and they'll look like this. And you're kind of thinking, well, I can't see that. How do I know? And yes, you can hear the breathing, and I kind of go through the process of what it's like in the last few seconds, because I was there with Sandy when he passed away. I couldn't see, so I wasn't absolutely sure, and so I had to go and get a sighted person in the room and check that he had really passed away. And the hilarity was that the doctor then shone a torch in his eyes, and he had glass eyes. And I was like, "Well, that's so ridiculous! You can't see that." But it was that whole idea that there are so many visual signs, and then there's lots of visual information that you're given too, such as leaflets and the things that you have for machines that you use. They have bleepy noises, but they're all touch screen and something. So it's all of that stuff that comes along with it. And so there's that physical access issue, and then there's that emotional access issue of that you can't see those signs, so you can't react as fast as you'd like.
And Neil, you're a cast member in the show. Can you tell us kind of about rehearsals so far and how you're all kind of working together to tell Kieran's story?
I mean, I'm definitely guilty of not really wanting to talk about the death subject. I always try to avoid it. So when Kieran said this was one of our ideas and thoughts, it was almost like my worst nightmare, to be perfectly honest. Really, when you start reading the script, it's quite a journey. And there's parts that you recognize not only around the death, but just in general life for people with disabilities, and especially ourselves with having a sight loss. Without giving too much away, there's elements of relatives and friends coming in, almost pushing you as the blind person out of the way. How can you possibly look after him now? How can you do this? And that, I mean, that happens to most of us daily almost. We get shoved aside, or get people asking, the person next, who do I give the change to? It's almost a bit like that, does he take sugar moment? I think that's really powerful, hopefully for the audience, hopefully for a sighted audience to realize that part. That was one of the parts I found quite powerful with the whole thing. But I mean, rehearsals is a kind of strange thing for me as well, because I do stand up, so it's very much improv, live in the moment. So I find it really hard to rehearse things. It's completely alien to me, but it's been a massive learning curve for myself, and I mean, really, really enjoying it. It's a fascinating art.
All of the performers have really come on. But we're doing at the moment online rehearsals because one of our performers is based in Denmark and is coming over, which we're really excited about. It's the only visually impaired performer that is known in Denmark. So she's coming over to learn about how visually impaired performers work over here. and we're just really glad to host her in Scotland.
There are moments of just kind of surreal comedy in death. And is that something that you've tried to sort of bring in throughout the show and by bringing in comedy talents like Neil?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also looking after the cast. I think that part of the thing is, you know, I do recognise this is a really difficult subject. And I try and do subtle bits of looking after the cast just to make sure they're okay, check in with them, listen to signals when they're rehearsing, and just make sure that they are comfortable with it, because it, you know, it is hard and it is quite emotive, and it does bring up subject areas you don't want to think about and talk about. But equally, it's also about challenging the audience and challenging ourselves as performers, and that's what performance is all about. And the VI, visual impairment element, is there. It's quite strongly there, but it's also quite subtly there. It's not in your face, oh, look at us and how terrible it is because we're visually impaired and we're having to do this stuff. It's more about how funny it is and how ridiculous the world is and how easy things can be if you just think about them a little bit more. And it's like a podcast kind of play. So you have some elements that are recorded and some elements that are live. And there is some interaction with the audience, and there's special bits for the audience to take part in, which I think again is really important, because I don't want people to just be passive recipients of watching a show or listening to a show. I want them to be active recipients of a show and feel that when they go out they can talk about it and they can think about it a little bit more. It's an hour of your life. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's not morbid at all. Or if there is, there's tiny elements of it. But it's also profiling visually impaired people, a very incredible cast. It's really exciting. It's fun. It's interesting. It's in a lovely little venue, Assembly Boxy. The staff are there, are really supportive and helpful. And more than anything else, I just think we as visually impaired people out there should support each other to make things happen. And to have that support would be incredible.
You have both kind of mentioned instances during difficult times where things have been made inaccessible, or you've not been treated respectfully, or like people don't recognise the things you can offer to a situation. Can you expand on some of those elements that are in the show, or some of those situations that you explore?
I mean, there's a lot of just people who are close to you every day. I mean, I've got close friends in different circumstances who still ask really silly questions, or say, you won't manage that, or, you know, really? And there's quite an element of that. And I mean, especially, I suppose, relatives, even more so to a degree, come in and kind of take over almost, which they may do anyway, but I think it's worse with a visual impairment, because you couldn't possibly make someone a cup of tea or look after the people who's coming to visit. You know, there's a massive element of that, I think. And even in the professional world, you know, I mean, one of the worst places I found when I had some sight was going to the eye clinic. They were the ones that had probably the least knowledge of visual impairment. Go and take a seat over there. Follow the yellow arrows. And you're like, really? You think? So there's a big element of that. And that comes across because, well, there's a couple of scenes where the doctors are in, and there's a lot around the doctors not really getting that, well, both, but certainly in Kieran's case, been the one who was sort of conscious and being spoken to, didn't really understand what it meant, even, you know, the visual impairment side of it at all. Just didn't, I don't know, just people, I get people just really don't think about it that much, but you do think that medics and that should have some sort of understanding, but unfortunately it doesn't seem to be the case.
Because, yeah, and it's quite hilarious when they don't, because you can have two kind of reactions to it. You can get a bit frustrated, or you can be a little bit sarcastic and a bit cheeky and make them feel uncomfortable till they get it. And a lot of the lines people say, did you really say that? And I kind of say, yes, I really did say that to them. I honestly said certain things, because it's just, you just kind of can't help it. It's the only way you can get the message across. If you try and be too serious, they go into defensive mode. And if you just ask a general question, they still go into defensive mode, and they do a lot of apologizing. And it's like, that's wasting time. I just need you to do a certain thing or explain a certain thing to me, and I'll be all right after that. So sometimes they're there on to sarcasm and cheekiness that comes out, but actually, do you know what, it works. They suddenly react and they laugh, and then they kind of get it. So I kind of wanted to bring that across as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And grieving is such a personal process, and it can make us feel really out of control. So people trying to take your control away of, both how you spend kind of final moments with someone you love, or kind of how you grieve and how you're given information, is just such a difficult thing to have to deal with on top of losing someone.
Yeah, it is. It's very true. I mean, I miss Sandy literally every day. I miss him. Particular moments I really miss him are if something amazing is happening and like I just want to sit there and go, look what I've done. Isn't that amazing? Or if something's awful happening, or they're really being horrible to me today and then just won't listen and why wasn't it happening? And I miss him for all of that. I do. But I equally want to celebrate him and I want to celebrate what he's taught me throughout a really difficult time. Because if he's taught me that, then he'll taught somebody else that.
So when is the play on, and how can people buy tickets?
So it's on the 5th and 6th of April between 7 and 8 p.m. It's at Assembly Roxy. Google search Assembly Roxy, which is Assembly, Roxy's Roxy. You can get the tickets on their website.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Kieran Saeed and Neil Skeen, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about Sense of Loss, which is on the 5th and 6th of April.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.